Welcome to the Are Your Hands Full podcast, a step-by-step parenting podcast for your Jewish family. My name is Dr. S. Yaroslavitz, and I hope you enjoy this episode.
Hello, I hope all is well and that you are staying strong and staying safe. This is the 9th podcast, specifically addressing the health crisis that we are enduring. These podcasts are designed to give chizuk and support to my incredibly special frontline workers, you, the parents. I urge those of you who have not been listening steadily to the podcasts to go back to the other 8 podcasts and listen to them as well. People have been finding them very helpful. For those of you who get my daily emails, you can go back over them and find the emails with the links to each podcast. For those of you who do not get my daily emails, you can log on to jewishpodcasts.org. That's jewishpodcasts.org. Click on View Shows. Scroll down until you see Hands Full, which you should recognize because the icon is the cover of my book, and listen to all the podcasts related to coronavirus. They are all titled Are Your Hands Full and Coronavirus and are labeled by number, episode 1, episode 2, etc. This podcast will be episode 9, Emet Hashem. Also, for those of you who have not been subscribing to my daily emails, feel free to log on to my website at www.handsfullchinuch.com. That's handsfullchinuch.com. And request them over there. Or you can email me directly at handsfullchinuch@gmail.com. So you know, there has been much discussion in the news about frontline workers, which are generally listed as medical professionals, food manufacturers, grocers, truck drivers, and all of our community's first responders. I am not sure why mothers and fathers have been omitted from this list of frontline workers, and why there has been so little mention of the heroism that all of you have been displaying over the recent weeks. Suddenly, with no warning at all, you found yourselves at home with all your children on Erev Pesach with almost no guidance, and you were asked to cope, to manage, and to generally pull it all together, some of you for the very first time, without even any cleaning help. And you did it amazingly well. I have been watching in awe how those who have been in touch with me have stepped up to the plate, pulled their hands full program from back burner to front burner, and have truly set a shining parenting example for others. I'm impressed. So for this podcast, I promised to spend some time helping those of you who are living in small quarters and are going crazy for lack of space. Hopefully, and I think that this is true, those of you who live in the city and don't have a lot of space are forced by definition to manage your space efficiently, even during the best of times. So many of you might be used to running efficient homes even without space. You have learned not to hoard, to discard things that don't have any current use anymore, to send items to short-term or long-term storage, not to stock up too much on items for the future, etc., etc. You also knew that every item in a home needs to have an address. Paper clips, here. Toilet paper, there. Dirty laundry, here. Parsha sheets, there. Pencils, here. And so it goes. This eliminates clutter, which can be very debilitating in limited spaces. These are all strategies that you implemented way before Corona hit and will come into very, very good stead as you manage your space with your children at home. So here are some additional strategies that might help you out during these weeks. First, number one, if every item in a home needed an address before Corona, it doubly needs an address now. Without going crazy, I don't want anyone to make an obsession out of this. Try to mentally figure out addresses, even temporary ones, for items that reduce clutter. Use old plastic drawers or bins or even regular boxes from your grocery deliveries to establish such addresses. For example, if you're doing art projects with your kids over the past few weeks and they want to save them, create a Corona art project box. And every art project goes in there. Corona art supplies, another box. And be really positive when you discuss this with your kids. As you are decluttering to prepare to serve lunch, for example, say out loud, pen, kitchen drawer, markers, art box, completed project, project box, Shindy's headband, headband drawer, or Shindy's drawer, Chaim's Crocs, shoebox. which incidentally should be near your door to your apartment, Yankees chumash, Yankees school box, or Svarim shrunk, or whatever, you get the picture. So if every item has an address, is presented in a positive and relaxed manner, it will actually give your children a sense of security that they're living in a structured environment rather than in a madhouse. Number two, use lots of cheap plastic tablecloths to cover surfaces when you do projects, schoolwork, etc., so that surfaces can be switched to another function, for example, a meal, with a minimum of cleaning and scrubbing. Number three, set up a steady schedule that you have been doing already, I know that. But now, this week and next week, most of you are probably finding that the schools are stepping up and giving the children much more phone time for school, worksheets, and things that they are responsible for. Remember, every worksheet has to have an address, a box, a drawer, a cubby, a shelf. And if possible, each child needs a small vinkala, a small corner, to sit and listen to their Rebbe and teacher and do their homework every day. Use small, inexpensive folding tables. They're available on Amazon if you don't have them. And squeeze them into corners so that each child will have a designated place, designated time, designated phone, etc. Create a chart that shows the children clearly what the steady schedule will look like. For example, the first column should be the time. The second column should be the name of the child. The third column, which phone is being used. The fourth column, which room they're going to learn. It's like a master sheet. And you start from the beginning of the day. For example, 9 a.m., Rachela, mommy's cell, girl's bedroom. 9:30 a.m., Elizev, house phone, boy's bedroom. 9:45 a.m., Shua, tati's cell, dining room table. This entire daily schedule, if posted in a central location, will give children a sense that they're part of a bigger picture. I know that some schools are working on getting extra devices for large families that don't have the timing flexibility to get all the classes in for all the children and don't have the required amount of telephones. Bear in mind that nothing is impossible. And if your children see that you are calmly determined to get everyone's schedule in place and that you know how important it is for them to stay in touch with what's going on in yeshiva and for the day to be structured, they will surely be calmer and do better. Number four. Here's a more aggressive approach to making more space. This idea actually came from a few parents who told me about it, who were thrilled with the results. But you need to be a bit flexible and be ready to think out of the box. Ready? Some parents did this. They took one bedroom and dismantled it and turned it into a rec hall or an activity room. This can only work if your children are young enough or the same gender, that you would be able to consolidate sleeping arrangements. They put cribs, high-risers, toddler beds, and the like all into one room and set the kids up to sleep together, more like camp style. They used boxes or plastic drawers to transfer clothing so that the empty bedroom could be mostly empty. Then they furnished the empty bedroom with folding tables and folding chairs, not too many, you don't want to clutter up a room, and called it the schoolroom. It can also be called the base medrash when it's davening time, an activity room when it's project time, a schoolroom for some kids who need to call into yeshiva or school, etc. Use humor, make it fun. For those of you that this is simply not an option, work with your dining room. Can you turn your dining room table so that it is along a wall, like you would do if you were going to make a simcha? This will clear some more open room space. Open up folding tables and cover them with plastic. Can you move your dining room chairs into your bedroom or downstairs into a storage area and use folding chairs instead? This will turn your dining area into a rec hall, a base medrash, or a schoolroom. Then, for Shabbos, you can convert it back in a lot less time than you think. Not more than a half hour if you follow the basic decluttering rules all week long and everything has an address all week long. Remember, these are simply suggestions. Some that might be helpful. Number five. Now here is our last strategy, and it pertains to social distancing. I know you all do not have your own backyards. At best, you have a communal backyard or sidewalks in front of your buildings, which typically became a playground for your children, understandably so. Lots of you, I know, let your children go out of your apartments into the hallways and play with other children for hours on end in the good times. I am going to go so far as to insist that this is not acceptable at this juncture. I know a lot of you have said to me, our neighborhood all had it already. We are done. Nobody's getting it again. We're good. We can get together now. For all of you that think you're so smart with this, I want to ask you a question. Do you know what the word novel means? Do you know why the coronavirus was labeled the novel coronavirus? The word novel means new. It means unprecedented. It means that there isn't a previous protocol that can tell us anything at all for certain about this virus. You obviously must know by now that the doctors simply cannot figure out how to get this thing under control. So with what basis are you making an assumption that once you had the virus, you're immune? Where are you getting that from? Because you know that once a person gets chickenpox or measles or mumps, they're immune? Great. But what about the flu? Does a person develop lifetime immunity to the flu? No. You can get the flu over and over and over again. So what makes you think that you can have corona only once, and that once you have corona, you won't get it again? From where are you deriving that information? And so it's okay to let your kids mingle with other children and carry germs over to people who are medically vulnerable because you need space and you're going nuts? So sorry. Let it not be said that any action you choose to take with either yourself or your children will endanger the life of another individual, chas v'shalom. I don't know how well that would go over upstairs. Think about it. So if you haven't picked up my vibes about following rules until now, du hasta. I'm giving you the real deal. We don't know nothing about this virus. And neither do the doctors. What we do know is that we have an achrayus to take human life seriously. That's what it says in Masechta Sanhedrin, Perek Dalet, Mishneh. Lefichach nivra Adam yechidi ba'olam. Why was Adam HaRishon created alone in this world? Lilame, to teach us, shekol ha-ma'abed nefesh achas malim alav ke'ilu ibed olam mole. That anybody who destroys one nefesh, it counts upon him like he destroyed the whole world. I didn't write this. And none of you want to have this on your own shoulders, do you? Remember, your actions and lack of sensitivity to the matzav could cost someone their life. Watch yourself. Think. So what to do? I know you're cooped up. I know your kids need to get out. They even recommend that your children should get out on exercise walks. So initiate a power walk, a scavenger hunt. Take your children out alone without any accompanying children from other families. Make sure to do this daily, no matter what the weather, within reason, of course. If your children have scooters, big wheels, or bikes, make a biking trip. Your power walk or outdoor trip should follow all social distancing requirements and are solely for the purpose of giving the child fresh air and exercise. Obviously, you should make it fun, but don't lose sight of the main purpose of this endeavor. Once again, stay strong, stay safe, keep up that positive attitude, and remember exactly who is in charge.
Thanks for listening to my podcast. My name is Dr. S. Yaroslavitz, and I am the director of Handsful, which is committed to the provision of community education in the area of behavior management and cognitive development of children. Send me your parenting questions by going to my website at handsfulchinuch.com or by WhatsApping me at 718-714-8595. I look forward to hearing from you, and remember, no matter how impossible things may seem, the earth will continue rotating on its axis.